York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, yes, you are. Hi, how are you? Wow, look at this. It's already Wednesday, the 11th day of April, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and I don't know about you, my head's spinning today. I mean, where do you want to start? Where do you want to? I mean, it's just one story after another. Paul Ryan saying, I'm out of here. He's quitting. You've got Mark Zuckerberg, day number two. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. No, I really am sorry. So that pretty much covers that story. Nah, we got more about that. We've got, it's just one story after another of crazy, crazy news. And let's go ahead and start with the missiles are coming. The missiles are coming. Because that's what Donald Trump sent out, was a tweet. Said, Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming. Nice and new and smart. You should not be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've talked about Syria probably every two or three days now for the last couple of weeks. But it started with Donald Trump saying, I want to be out as soon as possible. And ever since then, all hell has broken loose. And he has, so he says, I want out, and the next thing we know, we've got a gas attack. And the question comes down to, which I was surprised, because a number of you have brought this up, but even Tucker Carlson on Fox last night brought it up, how do we know where this gas attack came from? The story is, the reporting is, that the rebels have these gas weapons as well as Assad. So, is this a legitimate, honest-to-goodness atrocity, or is this something designed to say, hey, Donald Trump, you can't leave, because we're going to make it look like Assad is gassing his people, and that's that red line that Obama talked about, and you can't be sitting there ignoring that one because, well, Obama said it and did nothing, so you can't be doing nothing. And then we got missiles fired over Riyadh. Saudi Arabia's air defense forces said they intercepted a ballistic missile over Riyadh today. And another scout drone that targeted the border city of Jazan was also stopped. So, anybody trying to get Saudi Arabia involved? Because a lot of you have said, maybe we need to get the Saudis, maybe we need to get the Jordan, maybe we need to get those people that live over there. This is their backyard, this is their problem. And then you come up with these missiles flying, and gas attacks against people. And yesterday, there was Nikki Haley with strongly worded statement at the United Nations saying that this is unbelievable. So who do you believe, and what do you think's going to happen? Because the president said in his tweet, the missiles are coming, which is also kind of strange because of the fact that he always said, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to give you any warning. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do. So he says, get ready, Russia, because they will be coming, nice and new and smart. He says, our relationship with Russia is worse now than it has ever been, and that includes the Cold War. There is no reason for this. Russia needs us to help with their economy, something that would be very easy to do, and we need all nations to work together. Stop the arms race. So what's going on here? What is going on? John Kirby, Admiral Kirby, he says the strikes do not change the U.S. strategy for Syria.
They have certainly made their decision to actually conduct a series of strikes. I suspect this won't just be one. It may be a series over a course of time. So it tells me that they've already made that decision. The president's committed to that, and they're moving forward. I don't think, John, that this is, from a military perspective, going to change a heck of a whole lot about how the Pentagon plans, in conjunction with our allies, to conduct these strikes. Now, what they'll do, and they will do this even without the president's tweet, they'll be constantly checking the intelligence that they have available to see what the Russians and Syrians are doing on the ground. Are they moving assets? Are they bunkering up? Are they doing anything that would change the targeting picture? But they would do that anyway. They're certainly going to do it after this tweet. But I don't think, tactically speaking, it's going to change much in terms of whatever strike is coming.
So whatever strike is coming, he thinks it's a fait accompli. Speaking of targets moving around, the other reports are that Russia is moving its ships out of the port in Syria that they have, their naval base there. They must assume that we are going to drop some missiles into the Russian naval base sitting on the corner of Syria, in Syria. And that base is strategic, very strategic for Russia. They are looking at it and going, we need that base very much because of the fact, A, it's warm water. B, it is right, our access to the Mediterranean. It's perfectly positioned below Turkey, above Lebanon, next to Cyprus. There it is. And the Russians want that base among all things. So are we thinking about dropping missiles into the Russian military base, the naval base? This then brings up the question of, are we willing to go to war with Russia? And what will happen if we drop missiles into Syria? We have warned Vladimir Putin. Back to Admiral Kirby. He says more likely the U.S. will not target Russian or Iranian forces.
I suspect, and again, I don't know, that the targeting process has been probably deliberately arranged not to provoke unnecessarily Russia or Iranian forces, and probably focus strictly on Syrian targets. Now, the Russians and the Iranians can make that harder for us to do, right, by putting some of their forces there. So, yeah, I think they can. It's really going to depend on how big they want to make this statement, a big statement they want to make out of this strike, and what they're exactly going to target. The only two, the big two unknowns that we have right now are timing. When are they going to do this? And targets. How many and what are they going to be? And I do think that you can do it in a discreet fashion still. But it's really going to depend on how the Russians and Syrians behave in the wake of this this tweet.
Well, meantime, CNN's reporting that our president is taunting Russia, saying that our response is coming. So are we going to have World War III? Russia apparently is absolutely livid about what Donald Trump is saying. The Daily Star is saying there's a war chance 8 out of 10. I don't know what they know. But Admiral Kirby, who was also not only a rear admiral, he was a Pentagon spokesman. Then he went over to become John Kerry, Secretary John Kerry, spokesman at the State Department. So I'm guessing that he's not a real big fan of Donald Trump. But he says Trump's tweets show that Trump is not taking the attacks on Syria as serious as he should.
I thought it was very interesting that this tweet was so targeted at Russia and even not as much on Assad as you would think. Yeah. That was pretty telling to me. And look, I mean, I'm glad to see that he sees how much Russia has propped up Assad and how maligned they have been in Syria. But, John, the more I thought about this tweet, you know, coming here this morning, the more angry I got, because he's the commander in chief.
Right.
And I can't remember ever in my lifetime, and certainly in my study of American history, any commander in chief treating the potential use of armed force in this cavalier fashion. It's really reprehensible that he would just tweet out something specific about a strike when lives are at stake, not just lives on the ground, but American lives and probably allied lives, because it's likely that there's going to be some manned aircraft involved in these strikes. There are serious, as Barb says, air defenses in and around Damascus that the Russians have fortified over the last year. I mean, this is dangerous business. This is real stuff. It's war. And for a president to treat it like this really offends me deeply.
Well, that's Admiral Kirby. All right. So he comes from the John Kerry School of Diplomacy, and he is a big lefty, and he can't he talks for a lot of people, because he obviously is saying that I still can't believe that Donald Trump is our president. I still can't believe that he tweets, "Oh my gosh, I am so shocked." Where most of us have realized that, yes, Donald Trump is our president, and he tweets, and he's not going to stop. And he uses it strategically sometimes. Sometimes I think he uses it when he shoots himself in the foot. But I think in this particular case, I think Kirby's just having a cow for no, well, not for no reason, but he's having a cow because he doesn't like Trump. But it is pretty amazing, the tweet that said, "They're coming. Here they come. Ready or not, here come the missiles." It's like a hide-and-seek game. So he's up to something. What do you think of Donald Trump's tweet? "Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming. Nice, new, and smart." What do you think he's going to do? If there's ever been a strategery, this looks like it's one that kind of is laid out there on a silver platter. Donald Trump is up to something. Nobody knows what it is. He says he's going to fire missiles, nice, new, and smart ones. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be exactly the way people think it's going to be. And what do you make of Kirby's comments, which I have to agree with him on? His tweets are more about Vladimir Putin and Russia than they are about Assad. And this is the guy that everybody on the left said, he's a Putin puppet. Well, is he no longer the puppet, or is this all for show? There's a lot going on here. Your reaction to it. Phone number 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You can find my phone numbers, my email address, the links to my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram account, and you can find the buttons where you can listen live, or you can listen to a podcast. It's all on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
All right, so here we go. Everybody's wondering. The president said, close to 48 hours ago, he said, I'll let you know within 24 to 48 hours what we're going to do. And then he comes out with his tweets and says, here they come, ready or not. But the other part of this is Russia has responded, and they are saying, if you send missiles, we vow to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. So why are, I mean, this is, yeah, Russia is going to shoot down U.S. missiles in a country that has a civil war. Phone number here is 8. Well, I mean, I don't know. Are they testing the Russians to see if their anti-missile technology is good? 855-295-6600. August in San Antonio. Hello, August.
Hello there, Tom.
Hi.
All right. I guess the first thing I would say is that, to start it off, the first thing you have to ask is whether or not any of this made any tactical sense for Bashar al-Assad. And the answer is obviously no. I mean, this is the second time that Trump was talking about getting out, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Bashar al-Assad pulls out the chemical weapons and drops them. It doesn't make sense. I mean, for one, it just doesn't pass the smell test right there. It would be different if you were dealing with an enemy.
If it doesn't make sense, August, who's doing it?
Well, I mean, there was one story that was said that was about the rebels and whether or not they were trying to create some chemical weapon.
Right.
And whether or not they were dispersed by accident through the air raid. Now, I think there's two answers there, actually. One is they could be dispersed by accident if they were actually hit where they were making them. Or two, they could have been dispersed intentionally by the rebels as a way to get us back in after Bashar al-Assad bombed the general area.
Yeah.
Although,
don't leave.
I'm aiming towards the first. And you know, I don't think the rebels are quite that heinous, but they could be. But the other thing is that we also have, you know, the generals or whatever that either don't know what they're talking about, you know, like the guys on TV, you know, that are supposed to be the military consultants.
Right.
Either don't know what they're talking about or they're intentionally misleading. Because there was all this when that was brought up, you had the generals there saying, oh, well, the explosion itself would destroy the chemical weapons, blah, blah. No. I mean, it can. Sure, the heat can. But it's not like anything is absolute. You blow up a building with a bunch of chemical weapons in it, some of it's going to be outside the blast radius, the heat. Okay, before it's damaged enough.
Well, I want you to make a point of this, because that is one of the other points that's being made, is that, oh no, we can't shoot missiles because then they won't be able to go in and do the forensics to find out who gassed the people earlier this week. That's one of the other excuses.
Yes, unfortunately, I really am starting to feel like they don't care. Like we're stepping in some just a big pile of military industrial complex grade A BS. Honestly, I really am right there.
So bottom line, August,
overthrow Assad, and that's that.
What do you want to? But we've said we're not going to overthrow Assad. That's the other part of it. Our policy is we are not going to remove him because they don't want to have another Saddam Hussein problem.
Then why have we been supporting the rebels? If that's the answer, if you say that, I mean, I understand what you're saying. That's official policy. Then why are we supporting the rebels? Why
beats
have
me.
We been supporting the rebels?
Yeah, beats me.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
In order for any of this to make sense, you have to assume that Bashar al-Assad used his copy of the Art of War as a drink coaster. Okay? And that's not the guy we're dealing with.
Yeah. Well, so what should Trump do? He has said the missiles are coming. Now what?
Well, unfortunately, he may have, like, committed himself. But I just think they should do nothing at this moment until we can actually show that this was, in fact, an attack by Bashar al-Assad, period, the end. If we do anything before then we're stepping in it. And we're stepping in it with the second biggest power in the world in the region. You kill a bunch of Russian soldiers by accident, this gets nasty fast.
Yep. How about them shooting down our missiles?
That's a little less troublesome because it's just missiles, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't think we'd treat it as a literal act of war. But I think they might treat 50 of their soldiers getting a cruise missile dropped on them as an act of war, don't you?
It's ramping up the tension meter here, no question about it. August, I got to hit the bottom of the hour break, but thank you. Appreciate the call. We will take a short break and be right back.
Prime time, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Prime time it is, and happy Wednesday to you, talking about the president's tweets and the fact that he's going, the missiles are coming. The missiles are coming, and get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice, new, and smart. Russia vows to shoot down any of our missiles. President said 48 hours ago, roughly, that he was going to give a decision on within 24 to 48 hours. So that doesn't mean he has to. But that's the time frame he gave. Be a little late. Phone number here is 855-295-6600, General Anthony Tata. He says, Well, like most generals, that's what they live for. That's what they train for, is war. And he said President Trump is taking action to stop the proliferation of WMDs and chemical weapons.
I think what you see here is a president who is enforcing our national security strategy, one that calls for the elimination or prohibition of the use of weapons of mass destruction to include chemical weapons, and an international order based on the rule of law. That has long-standing been our national security strategy, and so President Trump is forcefully enforcing that, particularly with regard to the use of WMD, which can spread all around the world through multinational terrorist groups. So what we've got going on is the application and synchronization of the elements of national power. Diplomatically, we proposed a UN resolution where we wanted to identify Syria as a proponent of chemical weapons and to take action, and Russia vetoed that yesterday, as they've done 12 other times in defense of Syria.
Yeah. Yeah, UN is, I don't even know why he's talking about it. Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Sullivan Radio. Jay says, we are supporting the rebels so ISIS doesn't come back, and most of the rebels are Kurds, and we already have killed a lot of Russians. Well, some. Sean Hammy says, they are playing Trump like a fiddle. Trump has appeared weak across the globe, and not because of his rhetoric, but because other countries believe he doesn't know what he's doing. It's definitely a test of Trump. The question is, why do they want Americans in Syria? Jerry in Milwaukee. Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, Tom. During World War II, right before the Pearl Harbor attack, President Roosevelt didn't go on the radio and said, I dare Japan to attack our fleet at Pearl Harbor. I mean, that would have been absurd to think of.
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember that either. No. I don't think he did.
Right. So it's one thing for Donald Trump to, like, get in a Twitter war with North Korea, which has a handful of nuclear weapons, but to get into a war like this, to dare Russia with nuclear, massive stockpile of nuclear weapons, to dare them, you know, Tom, in the past you said, well, Trump's, horrible, like, or you said he's, you don't like his personality necessary, well, because it doesn't affect his policy. Well, it does affect the policy here, because his character, his lack of emotional control, is escalating a potential war with Russia just because, based on his personality, based because he can't control his emotions.
I know you don't like the guy, all that sort of stuff. But you mentioned North Korea, and after three different administrations going back to the early 90s, finally, all of a sudden, we've got some positive movement on North Korea. So this brash, harsh, in-your-face, it's not something that we're used to, the world is used to. When it comes out of the White House, they expect some sort of diplomatic speak. This guy doesn't know diplomatic speak. And do you think that what it's doing in the Kremlin is they're going, oh my gosh, Trump is going to pressure us. We can't have a World War III. Is he going to back down Vladimir Putin, who he's supposed to be a puppet of?
Well, we didn't get into a world war, a war with Russia, from many presidents from World War II until Russia collapsed. I mean, so there was a reason for the diplomacy of American presidents, something that this American president doesn't seem to have at all.
Well, it does. It's just not the version that comes out of the UN School of Diplomatic Speak. But he has.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, Jerry. I can't. None of us can speak for what's in his head, but I know it's risky, it's high stakes poker, but I think that's what this is. I think it's high stakes poker. That's what we're seeing. I mean, who folds? Who blinks?
The closest I could see to this was like Kennedy trying to stop missiles into Cuba, but that was to stop missiles getting closer to us, to attacking us.
Right.
Donald Trump's
right, but by doing the blockade, it really came down to, I was a kid at the time and I was scared out of my bejeebies. Everybody thought we were going to have a nuclear war with the Soviet Union.
Right.
I mean, it was...
But JFK was trying to reduce the threat. It was trying to reduce the proximity of those weapons. Donald Trump, there's nothing to gain by this. You know, if he wants to be tough or somewhat tough with Russia, that's fine. But to do it in the way he does, unnecessarily, it's not just being uncouth. It's putting us at risk. It's emotional. It's like seeing who has the bigger you-know-what. That's what it is.
Yeah, but I like your analysis about Kennedy Khrushchev. I thought that was much scarier than this is, but no question he's ramping up the, you know what I'm going to do to you? That's what he's doing, I think.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's just ego.
Of course he has a large ego. but I don't know if it's also strategic diplomacy, not the way the UN says it. Jerry, I appreciate your call as always. Let's get Dee in here from Minnesota. Hello, Dee.
Hey, Tom. I have to wonder if Jerry has a full-time job because I hear him on all the talk shows.
Oh.
So, but anyway, I get a kick out of Trump because he's dealing with bullies. He knows how to deal with bullies, being from Queens and all that. So, and he's got results with Mr. Kim, because, you know, when Mr. Kim's paying attention, he saw that tweet. You think he's not thinking, oh, my God, what am I dealing with now?
Oh, I'm sure.
They all are saying that. So,
I can imagine the Kremlin are walking around in circles trying to figure out, now what do we do?
Exactly. That's his whole game plan, because they know not to meddle with Trump, because when Trump says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. End of story. And I'm not sure that I want to be involved with Syria and all that, because it seems like, do you remember when McCain kept going over to Syria and making friends with all the wrong rebels, and there's a picture of him and all that?
Yep.
I laugh that nobody brings that up about him. He gets away with it all the time. And
he's a big hawk. I mean, McCain's an old military guy. He'd love to have a war. He never saw a war he didn't love. So, yeah.
So are all the establishment. That's why they're realizing maybe it'll happen, or they're all leaving. That's why Paul Ryan's leaving. He sees the lining on the wall and all that. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with this. I hope if they do something, they strike fast. But at the same time, I hope comrades prevail, because...
So wait a minute.
Really
should Trump shoot missiles or not? He said he was going to.
I think he probably will, because he's kind of said that he's going to do it, even though he hasn't stated what date and time. I've heard within 72 hours something will happen, because they're all gearing up for it. Ships are headed over there. They're all armed to the tilt. I have friends that in the know that are being deployed and all this other stuff. So they're getting ready for something.
All right. Dee, always good to talk to you. I appreciate the call. We need to take the short break and be right back. Phone number is 855-295-6600.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Back to General Tata. He says President Trump's tweet, he says, was an olive branch to Russia by telling him if they stopped being buddies with Syria, their economy would boom.
Hidden in that tweet is the term economy, and that's the fourth element of national power. And it was really brilliant of President Trump to put that in there, because the Russian economy is in the tank right now, in part due to oil, in part due to sanctions that are on them. And so by that was an olive leaf hidden in a tweet to Russia. So, yes, this is a very good response, I think, that we've got coming. And I think the president's playing it just how he ought to here, very forceful with using our synchronizing all the elements of national power to get the best result.
I think General Tata loves Donald Trump. He's doing everything just perfect. Yeah, I tell you, he's great. Matt in Lake County, California. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. What are you thinking about?
Good, good. Happy Wednesday. Hey, listen, yeah. You know that I'm a Trump supporter in the middle of liberal California. but what?
You're the one.
I have two predictions. I'm the one.
Yeah.
I have two predictions. One's about Paul Ryan. The second one's about Trump. And I hope I'm wrong about Trump, because what I was telling the screener was he was going around telling everybody during campaign how critical he was about Obama, going around and telling everybody, hey, I'm going to go draw a red line in the sand, or I'm going to bomb this. Why is he telling everybody? Well, now here Trump is doing this. My prediction is he doing it just to appease the liberals so that it proves that there's no collusion because he's going up against Putin? I really hope I'm wrong about that.
Maybe.
Really hope I'm wrong about that, because it's playing with fire, you know?
It's a possibility, though. It's not something I would say, well, no.
He's a bully, but, you know.
Maybe.
If he's gonna campaign on something and be critical of somebody and try to get the base to really fully support him, I mean, I'm still kind of tweaked about the whole budget signing. I'm still having a hard time about that.
Yeah, you're not alone.
You know what I mean?
You're not alone. Yeah.
I love the guy, but man, I'm getting nervous. But my second prediction, Tom, is I listened to Paul this morning talk about him doing the fatherly thing, which I highly respect.
Right.
And he's got teenagers now, and he's missed out a lot, you know, and I know how that feels, but I think that once the kids become adults, I don't think we've seen the end of Paul Ryan. And I think this time we may, instead of seeing him as the vice president runner, he might be the main
president
guy.
Yeah.
Which,
you think he's going to primary Donald Trump?
I think the reason why I say that is because you notice how he isn't a jerk about it, but he also doesn't agree with Trump's way.
No.
He thanks him for he's doing it a polite.
No, they had a very rough start. Yeah, they had a rough start.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Until Trump won the nomination, even then Paul Ryan was kind of lukewarm. Until he won the White House, finally Rand Paul figured out, Paul Ryan figured out, I got to work with this guy. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all it is.
With Trey Gowdy and all those guys leaving, I think with the mass exodus, and, you know, a lot of them are retiring because they're old, but why all of a sudden?
Paul Ryan's not old.
Or at least, but there's other folks that are of age that are ready to retire. I mean, Trey Gowdy's not even old, but he's retired. You know what I mean?
You've got a sexual harassment lawsuit on your back. I better retire. I don't know what it is, because I mean, old guys aren't retiring. It's people that have sexual harassment lawsuits, or I don't know. We'll bring it up, Paul Ryan, next hour maybe. But the puzzle is, look, I just, the capitalist in me says the guy's looking at his bank account. He's got two kids, I think, that are teenagers. He's thinking about college. He's got three kids. Oh my gosh, he's going, I got to go make some money. I've got to go make some money.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But I think he's doing it respectfully. He's doing the right thing as far as a dad goes. But I also think he's not going to get his hands muddy being involved in the rest of the Trump era. He can sidestep and then come back in. He's leaving as a star. He's going to come back as a star. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I'm always surprised whenever we talk about Paul Ryan. I've had a handful of dealings with him, and he's always been very, very, very nice guy. But you bring up Paul Ryan with a lot of people in the right side of the aisle. They don't like him.
Right.
I don't know why. I'll give you one other piece about this. I want to spend more time with my children. Usually, which I saw this when I was a kid right out of college. And the senior partner of the firm that I worked for was retiring. And he, to me, I was 20-something, and he looked like he was 190. He was really an old-looking guy. And the excuse that the PR department put out was, I want to spend more time with my family. And I'm thinking, your wife has probably died 20 years ago and your kids are in their 60s. Don't you think you could have done something really about that before? On. Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. I do appreciate the call. That's some interesting speculation. Carol in Sacramento. Hi, Carol. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Good to talk with you.
Likewise.
First of all, I think the guy previously, Ryan didn't even want to be Speaker of the House. I don't think he's going to stick his toes back in politics. But I think everybody is forgetting what a bad player Russia is on the world field. They have been pushing the boundaries of just about every country with flying into areas they're not supposed to fly into.
And you know why? Because nobody would ever... Vladimir Putin knew that we would not do anything about it other than wag our finger at him.
Exactly. And I think that's what he's counting on now, that we're still not going to do anything. So there's... I personally think that Russia does need to have a little pushback to remind them that they don't get to do whatever they want all the time, anywhere they want. They're technologically very far behind us. They are drowning economically. Putin, of course, is perfectly fine, but the country itself is hurting.
The people love him. The people of Russia.
What they do have is a lot of people.
Well, you've got, look at, he is a patriot times 10 in his country to Mother Russia. And the people, I think, whatever country you live in, I think you look up to somebody who is a patriot to your country. So, but I'm with you. I'm right there with you, Carol. He's trying to test on Donald Trump to see just how big of a, not a talker, but a doer, Donald Trump is. Because he knows that previous administrations did nothing. He could walk all over them. I got to take the break, but Carol, thank you. I appreciate the call. We'll be right back.